Katie McKenzie. Coming up on today's programme, we'll be taking a look at what's going to be included in the Edinburgh Council budget tomorrow. Plus, we've got the latest on the £7 million bank fraud that's caused scandal affecting businesses and charities in Scotland, and the story on how charity Social Bite are using their profits to get 600 people off the streets. But first, today's other news with Saskia Williams.
Thank you, Katie. So TV presenter John Leslie has been charged with groping a woman at a nightclub in Edinburgh. Leslie, best known for his time on Blue Peter and This Morning, is accused of putting his hand under a 26-year-old woman's skirt and touching her at Edinburgh's Attic Club. The 52-year-old was not present at Edinburgh Sheriff Court today, but his lawyer, Mark Harrower, entered a plea of not guilty on his behalf. Two women have won a claim for compensation after the Met Police failed to properly look into allegations of rape about John Warboys. The victims, who were both raped by the black cab driver, had argued their treatment by police who didn't believe them caused them mental harm. Victims of serious crime may now be able to sue police for breach of their human rights if they fail to investigate effectively. A police cordon is in place in front of Topshop on Princes Street following concerns for public safety. A member of the public flagged down officers over concerns of material falling from the roof of the building. Police are diverting pedestrians via St Andrew Square. Iron Brew's new Don't Be a Can advert has sparked complaints, with some viewers claiming it's in poor taste. The Advertising Standards Authority said it had received 9 complaints since the promo for Scotland's national fizzy drink aired. The complainant said the advert was offensive and questioned whether or not it was suitable pre-watershed. Back to you, Katie.
And thanks, Saskia. Tomorrow is Budget Day. The City Council are planning a raft of proposals, including reinstating the night noise team. Councillors are setting aside over £250,000 to battle the spike in complaints from residents. Cameron Storer reports.
A familiar sound to citygoers around Edinburgh, the pub and its live entertainment. However, venues across the capital have been left frustrated by the council's latest decision to reinstate a noise complaints team across the city. I spoke to gig promoter Kyle Wilson, who described how venues feel victimised by the council.
I think that's the general sort of picture that people have of the council, that they're the bad guys and they treat the venues like the bad guys and they're on the side of the residents.
It was expected that the council would drop the complaint team before a public decision in November voted for the reinstatement. Cameron Rose is a Conservative councillor for Edinburgh Southside Newington. I asked him his thoughts on Kyle's claims that venues feel targeted.
Balance has to be achieved amongst the competing parties. So I don't think it's a question of targeting venue owners. I mean, venue owners where there's noise overspill have to take responsibility for that.
Lib Dem councillor of Drumbay and Gyle, Robert Aldridge, told me that this idea should be heavily supported.
We were very much in favour of it. There was a consultation exercise undertaken by the council and there was a very strong response saying, let's retain the noise team.
So what do the residents of Edinburgh think? I sat down with Edinburgh locals Ryan and Rona Firth, who explained to me their issue with excessive noise within the capital and, most importantly, the lack of resources.
I think overall we've just felt like with the situation, the problem we have with the noise, I felt really let down, like there's not actually a proper system in place to help people that are dealing with this. Surely there's people that can help you when you need it.
However, from other residents we spoke to in Edinburgh, the problem appears to be blamed at the feet of temporary tenants or holiday renters. I asked Kyle if he felt venues shared the same concerns.
If you're here for a week, 2 weeks, you don't really have a right to complain, you know? If you're going to be staying in an Airbnb, which is a whole other issue, in the centre of Edinburgh, then, you know, you've got to expect some kind of noise.
Tory councillor Joanne Mowat supported the idea that temporary tenants could be the issue. She stated that an increasing use of property is short-term holiday lets, and these flats can cause problems. However, when I suggested this idea to fellow Tory councillor Cameron Rose, he rejected that claim.
No. I don't think we should blow it out of proportion. I mean, Edinburgh's a very, very busy city with students, with visitors coming here. The short-term lets is not the major problem. Sometimes it is the problem.
Whoever is to blame for the complaints, the noise complaints team will be reinstated for the 2018 budget.
And our political correspondent Cameron Storer joins us in the studio now. Cameron, what else can we expect to see in the budget tomorrow?
Thanks, Katie. The other big adjustment of note is an unexpected 3% rise in council tax, which will start across the city in April. The council has also promised £400,000 for a holiday hunger fund, and this is to pay for children's meals within the school holiday terms. as it was recently discovered that 20% of children in Edinburgh live in poverty. £4 million is also expected to go towards the King's Theatre, ultimately helping their £25 million backstage refurbishment. Staying within city developments, £8.5 million is expected to go towards the improvements of school and council buildings. Edinburgh streets will also receive a substantial boost of over £15 million to improve around 52,000 streetlights across the city. And within the care sector, there is expected to be £4 million presented to health and social care, with a further £1.5 million expected to go towards helping vulnerable children. There are other adaptions within the Edinburgh City Council budget, but all will be revealed tomorrow. Katie?
Thanks, Cameron. Now, another line in tomorrow's budget is an additional £2 million to help tackle homelessness. The money comes as a social enterprise, Social Bite, have today announced a new initiative to get more people off the streets. Our reporter, Caitlin Noble, has been speaking to the event's organisers.
Walking around Edinburgh, you're bound to come across homelessness. Social Bite, an enterprise that aims to stop people having to sleep rough in Scotland, is trying to change this. They've just unveiled plans to house around 600 homeless people across the country in custom-built homes, including 500 houses in Edinburgh. The 600 Homes campaign will use £3 million of money raised by Sleep in the Park that took place in Princes Street Gardens last year. £1.5 million will be put towards funding the support costs over the first 12 months, and they plan to invest another £1.5 million over the next 12 months. The funding will be used for the houses and also to rehabilitate the homeless, which the manager of Social Bite says is the key to getting them back on their feet.
I think the main problem with homelessness in all big cities is that we try to put people that sleep in the streets straight into B&Bs or flats, and then they're just left alone. But a lot of those people have got issues that we just don't understand.
Helen Carlin from homeless charity Rowan Alba also told us how giving someone a place to stay doesn't automatically solve the problem.
A lot of homeless people don't just need accommodation, they need support. Half of our services are around providing that support, so a roof is not enough.
We took to the streets of the capital to find out just how much the people of Edinburgh think this funding will help.
I think anything that can be done to get people off the street is a good thing, especially in the winter. I mean, it must be heartbreaking, you know, to have to sit there in the cold and wet and snow and whatever, you know.
It's a very worthwhile project, and it's not before time. And certainly would support them. It's dreadful. It is, actually. We've only seen the tip of the iceberg.
But some people closer to the cause aren't so sure. Stephen is a regular at the cafe, and with a difficult past, he thinks it's too good to be true.
Once they even open them, there's going to be that much of a vetting process. You need to be that squeaky clean before you'll even get one.
In the past few years, Social Bite has seen a number of celebrities visit to help raise awareness, and the situation seems to be improving. But homelessness still remains a big problem in the capital, and help is ongoing for the people stuck in the streets with the help of Social Bite.
And a reminder of today's headlines. The council is set to reinstate the night noise team in its budget tomorrow, following large numbers of complaints from residents about noisy tenements. Several million pounds has been stolen in a bank scam affecting businesses and charities across the country. And social enterprise Social Bite have announced a new initiative to get 600 homeless people off the streets. And now here's Ryan Marr with today's sports stories.
Thank you, Katie. Scotland Rugby have selected the same starting 15 that defeated France for Saturday's Six Nations tie against top-of-the-table England at Murrayfield. Head coach Gregor Townsend had brought six new players into the training squad, but has not changed from the side that won 32-26. Former Glasgow Warriors fly half Mike Adamson told EN4 News exclusively that the Scots can win and put up a fight for the title.
I'm surprised WP now didn't come in to start 15. But I'm sure if the team play the way they did against France, they can beat England and challenge for the Six Nations title.
Elsewhere in rugby, Edinburgh today confirmed that centre Matt Scott has re-signed on a two-year deal beginning in the summer. In the Winter Olympics, Great Britain's women are into the curling semi-finals in South Korea. Eve Muirhead's team defeated reigning Olympic champions Canada 6-5 this morning to book their place in Friday's semi against Sweden. Speaking exclusively to EN4 News, Judith McCleary, the head of development at Scottish Curling, believes the GB team can go one better than the bronze they collected in the 2014 games.
And that's always been their aim, is to come back with, certainly with a medal, and their aims are to come with the gold medal. So I think if they put out their best performance and all pull together, then they can certainly do it. It'll just be hopefully everything all comes together at the right time.
And finally, in football, Manchester United boss Jose Mourinho believes anything is possible in this season's Champions League campaign. United face Sevilla in the last 16 in Spain tonight, and Mourinho insists the La Liga side will be difficult opponents.
Even the teams that are not favourites, which is our case, they start realising that anything is possible. But for the moment, I think we have just to focus on a very difficult opponent.
That's all for today's sport. You can catch up on all of our stories and a lot more at ian4news.com. Katie.
Still to come. Edinburgh Napier University had a special visit today. Representatives from the Street Reads charity brought along their bike, built in the shape of the fourth rail bridge, to pick up some books to be given to the homeless. We'll be hearing from the founder a little later on. Now, who's calling? It's come to light that the organised criminals have been making calls posing as anti-fraud experts. The gangs have conned several businesses and a pensioner out of millions. Kirsty Wilson has more.
Phone fraudsters have scammed Scottish companies and charities out of £7 million over the past year, Police Scotland have revealed. The police have said that officers are investigating 19 cases that have taken place since last July, conning people through emails, phone calls or text messages in scams known as phishing, vishing and smishing. Detective Chief Inspector Jim Robertson said in a statement voiced over by a correspondent that these criminals move quickly and warns people to be careful when they receive calls from their bank.
Money tends to get moved very quickly and that's why they have to have a lot of organisation. Banks will not contact businesses or individuals asking for personal information or ask you to carry out a transaction. If someone starts asking for these details, end the call and contact your bank.
The crime gang have targeted a number of businesses, including Hamilton Academical Football Club and Highland Hospice. Freelance finance journalist Paul O'Hare said that this crime affects people all across the country.
The amount of money stolen ranges from £17,000 to £2 million. The victims range from businesses such as construction firms, law firms and charities.
Thank you for taking my call. Before we continue, could you say the first and third digits of your security PIN?
One of the latest techniques used by these con artists is called spoofing. Paul O'Hare explains this new technique.
Criminal gangs can actually determine what number appears on their caller ID. So they will clone the number of the bank. When the individual sees that number on their phone, as far as they're aware, it's the bank. And criminals are even saying to the individuals who are suspicious, look, just Google the number.
And now reading. It's one among one of life's little pleasures and one Edinburgh-based charity believes should be for everyone. Street Reads are continuing their project today, collecting donations of books for the homeless at Edinburgh Napier University. Our reporter Kendall Dick went along to the collection.
A book is a place of escape and solace in a hard world. That's a tagline for Edinburgh-based project Street Reads, who collect books for homeless readers in the capital. Today, Street Reads visits Edinburgh Napier University to pick up the first batch of book donations that's been building since Christmas. The Napier Big Read Initiative has been campaigning for book donations since last year. Students and staff at the university and beyond have been handing over their unwanted reads to Avril Gray, head of the Big Read Initiative. We spoke to Avril about the collaboration ahead of the pickup.
We looked to see what other organisations we could collaborate with. And we thought that it would be really interesting to think about those individuals who don't have free access to books, who don't have opportunities to learn, and who don't have a safe environment in which to progress and to think about how they can become or are lifelong learners.
To pick up the donation, Street Reads brought their brand new bike to campus. Rachel Cowan, Street Reads founder, told us about her motivations.
It began when a homeless girl who I was supporting a bit, who sat outside my street door, told me that books sometimes are more precious than food, which astonished me. I asked her to introduce me to some of the homeless guys and discovered that lots of them were readers. And that's really how it began.
She also explained the importance reading a book could have on someone who is lonely or homeless.
A book is solace for the soul. It's an escape from the terrible life that homeless people are leading. It has all sorts of impact, even with literacy. It helps with people who are not perhaps great readers. And if we can give them something that will help, all to the good.
Avril said the collection at the university has been successful so far, with over 300 books gathered at one campus alone. She has been blown away by the contribution from everyone involved.
We anticipate over 1,000 books for a Street Reads Book to Homeless scheme. So absolutely overwhelmed. Generosity has been fantastic. And hopefully it means that students have started to think about the big read as well, and what that might mean for them.
The books are transported via a customised bike that is on loan from Sustrans Scotland, ridden by volunteers in the city. Maybe you'll see it on its travels. If not, you can find Street Reads online or in their premises on West Nicholson Street in Edinburgh if you want to get involved.
And now today's closing headlines. Edinburgh Council has announced plans to bring back its noise team after a rise in complaints from locals. Fundraisers have conned UK businesses and charities out of millions of pounds using a so-called vishing scam. And Social Bite are launching a new plan to get 600 homeless people off the streets. And
15,000 people enter Kelvin Hall in Glasgow for the first meeting of Billy Graham's All Scotland Crusade. Hundreds have waited as long as 4 hours in rain and snow to hear the message of the young American evangelist who drew such enormous crowds during his London meetings last year.
In the last hour, it's been announced that US evangelist Reverend Billy Graham has died, aged 99. He passed away at his home in North Carolina this morning after battling cancer, pneumonia and several other illnesses. He preached to audiences of millions on radio and TV and was spiritual advisor to a dozen US presidents. And that's all from us. You can find more stories at en4news.com. I'm Katie McKenzie.
Radio Energy News.